Chapter 23.
How am I supposed to choose between you? The ghostly Sephiroth demanded, visibly overwrought.
It was strange to see him, not much older than Cloud was now, with his hair short enough that it didn't even brush his shoulders.
We've come all this way together.
I'll do it, a younger Anjael declared, looking back and forth between his two companions. He was the one who looked frightened, though he appeared to be doing his best to hide it.
It will be my honor, my lord.
Your honor, the third ghost sneered. It must be Sir Genesis, Sephiroth's other guardian. It's always been about your honor, isn't it? No, I'll do it. I gave up the chance to be a summoner myself in order to be a guardian instead. It's only right I get to be the one to help defeat Sin.
Sephiroth's ghost looked further upset by the declaration, but Anjael looked relieved? Was that what he'd meant about failing Sephiroth?
The phantoms vanished, and Cloud realized belatedly that he had his hands pressed to his mouth, his heart pounding so hard in his chest that it felt like it was shaking his whole body. He looked up at Sephiroth, the real one, and his guardian's expression was pained as he stared at the spot where the ghosts had been.
We were so young, Sephiroth murmured, the words probably not meant for anyone else to hear. We were hardly more than children.
He sighed and rubbed at his eyes, visibly wearier than Cloud had ever seen him. When he looked up again, it was straight at Cloud.
Go, he commanded, his tone stern but not unkind. There is one more trial to complete, and then everything will become clear.
Oddly, this trial was one of the simpler ones Cloud had been through. Almost more of a formality than anything else. Perhaps it was assumed that by the time a summoner reached Xanarkand, they'd already proven themselves. Or perhaps it was just having Aerith's clever mind and Tifa's insight turned on the problem as well. At the end of the trial, they all rode the platform down together. But the moment Cloud stepped off, he knew something was wrong. It's too quiet, he realized, edging forward in the dim light. Where's the hymn? The Faith is always singing the hymn.
Where's the Faith?
Aerith countered, coming up beside him and scanning the room.
I don't understand. This isn't an antechamber, is it? This is the Chamber of the Faith, but I don't see... Wait, over there!
She pointed, and a moment later, Cloud saw it as well. It was a statue, carved in the shape of a twisted human form, just like all the other Faith statues had been. But this one was different. There was no glow of power around it, and the upper part of the statue was broken to pieces.
Oh no, Cloud exclaimed, as he realized the extent of the damage. Did the Albed do this?
The thought was horrifying. He remembered Zack and Sephiroth telling him about the lost Aeon, the Faith the Albed had supposedly destroyed or stolen centuries ago. But to destroy the final Aeon would be to lose all hope of ever being able to defeat Sin. Then again, that was exactly what the Albed wanted, wasn't it? To stop the summoners from being able to sacrifice themselves and force the Spearins to find another way to end the cycle?
That statue lost its power as a Faith long ago,
a spectral voice said, seeming to come from everywhere and nowhere all at once. Pyreflies gathered, and the shape of a tall, statuesque woman with flowing hair slowly took form.
Fear not, summoner. I will bestow upon you that which you seek. The final summoning will be yours.
The Pyreflies faded away again, leaving behind a woman who looked almost real enough to be alive. Only if he stared could Cloud make out the faint outlines of the stones in the wall behind her. She smiled beatifically at him.
You must choose the one whom I will change, she told him. The one who will become the Faith of the final summoning. There must be a bond between chosen and summoner, for that is what the final summoning embodies.
She made a sweeping gesture with her hands, encompassing the five of them, and all the world beyond.
The bond between husband and wife, mother and child, or between friends. If the bond is strong enough, its light will conquer sin. isn't that... Lady Unaleska? Zack said, his voice strangled with shock. Cloud stared at him, then back at the Phantom Woman. It was true. She did look very much like the statues of the first summoner that stood guard in every temple of Yevon.
Indeed, the woman said. 1,000 years ago, I chose my husband Zaun as my faith. Our bond was true, and I obtained the final Aeon.
She smiled again.
There is nothing to fear. You will soon be freed of worry and pain. Once you call the final Aeon, your life will end. Death is the final and ultimate liberation.
It sounded like she was trying to be comforting, even encouraging. But Cloud couldn't stop the shudder that ran through him. He didn't want to die. He never wanted to die. If that was what was necessary, he would do it. But there was nothing about it that he would welcome.
Will this end it all? He demanded. The Faith wanted me to become a summoner because they said they wanted to rest at last. Is there something about my final summoning that will end the cycle?
Sin is eternal, Unaleska said. Every Aeon that defeats it becomes sin in its place. Thus sin is reborn. It is an inevitable part of Spira's destiny. It is never-ending.
But if we atone for our crimes, sin will stop coming back.
Tifa protested.
Can humanity even attain such purity? Unaleska asked.
The teachings of Yevon state that we can exorcise sin with complete atonement.
Aerith insisted.
It has been our only hope all these years.
Hope is comforting,
Unaleska replied, her tone turning chiding, like a teacher scolding a slow student for not learning their lesson well enough.
It allows us to accept fate, however tragic it might be. Yevon's teachings and the final summoning give the people of Spira that hope. Without hope, they would drown in their sorrow. Now choose. Who will be your faith? Who will be the one to renew Spira's hope once more?
Looking around, at his guardians and friends, Cloud tried frantically to find another way. He'd sworn to himself over and over that he would be the first summoner to make it without losing any of his guardians. Now he knew why Sephiroth had been so insistent that he prepare himself for the possibility. The older summoner had known the truth of the final summoning, and the cost involved in obtaining it. He'd been trying to warn Cloud as much as he could.
I need to think, Cloud said, desperate to buy himself some time. There had to be another answer. He couldn't let it end like this.
Of course, Unaleska inclined her head in a gracious sort of acknowledgement.
Choose well, and remember that it is the strength of your bond that will determine whether you succeed or fail in obtaining the final Aeon. Call for me when you have made your choice.
She vanished like the other ghosts, though the swirl of fireflies created by her leaving was so bright it lit up the whole chamber for a moment. There was echoing silence for a long moment after she was gone. In the far distance, Cloud could just make out the sound of water dripping, though the air where they stood was dry and smelled of dust. Everything about Xanarkand seemed ancient, and even though Cloud had seen the memory of it, for himself, it was hard to imagine that a thriving city had stood here 1,000 years ago.
This can't be right, Aerith finally said, her voice faltering. It will never end?
This cycle is eternal, Sephiroth said, but doesn't truly matter. Even if the hope of it someday ending is false, the 10 years of peace when the High Summoner brings the calm is still true. 10 years of no fiends, of no sin. Every summoner knows the likelihood of them being the one to bring the eternal calm is all but non-existent. But every summoner also feels their sacrifice is worth it. Does it make a difference that the sacrifice is 2 lives instead of 1?
Yes, Cloud insists, hands clenching into fists as he struggled to put his feelings into words. Yes, it does make a difference. To be willing to sacrifice your own life is one thing. That's selfless. But to be willing to sacrifice someone else,
That's just murder.
Doesn't that make all guardians murderers then? Tifa countered. Since we're sacrificing our summoners, what gives you the right to decide it's okay to sacrifice yourself, but not for us to do it as well? I mean, obviously anyone who turned someone unwilling into a faith would be killing them, but from what Unalaska said, I don't think it would even be possible to do with someone unwilling.
As if her words had conjured them, the phantoms of the younger Sephiroth and Genesis appeared just a few feet away. Sephiroth and Genesis had their hands joined, and light shone where they touched, growing brighter and brighter with every moment. Cloud didn't know what the process was supposed to look like, but it seemed like something must surely be going wrong. The light flickered and wavered like fire in a high wind, and both Sephiroth and his guardian bore expressions of agony.
"Genesis," the ghostly Sephiroth cried out. "Stop fighting me. This isn't a competition."
"Isn't it?" Genesis shouted in return. "Isn't that what our bond has always been about?"
Cloud could hear the sneer in his voice as he said, "Bond.
You've always been the best of us, the favorite, the ideal example of everything everyone else should aspire to be. You're a better crusader than Anjale and a better summoner than me. Not this time. I have all the aeons and I've been on the same journey you have. We'll see who comes out on top and let Lady Unalaska decide who should be the final aeon and who should be the high summoner."
The light became too bright to look at, and Cloud had to turn his head away, blinking to clear his eyes of pained tears. There was a sharp pulse, and both Sephiroth and Genesis screamed. Then suddenly, there was nothing. The light was gone, and the ghosts with it. Sephiroth, the real Sephiroth, made a pained noise and seemed to collapse sideways, reaching out to the wall to support himself. Cloud turned towards his guardian, startled and concerned.
"Seph, are you okay?"
"It was bad enough to live through it the first time," Sephiroth replied, his voice hardly more than a rasp.
Cloud put a hand on his shoulder, concerned, and was shocked to feel the way the older man was trembling.
"Seeing it from the outside, somehow it's worse. I always knew he was jealous of me, but I believed our friendship transcended that."
"Of course you did," a harsh voice said, from somewhere behind them. "You always believed you were perfect, and you assumed the rest of us believed it as well. So how could we do anything but envy and love you?"
Pyreflies gathered once more, but it took Cloud a moment to be certain that the man who appeared was Genesis. In the end, it was the way Sephiroth went rigid beneath Cloud's hand that made him sure, because the appearance of the apparition was so different from what he'd seen in the other two images. This Genesis appeared to be almost a negative version of himself. All the color had faded into black and white and gray, but his red hair had turned an unnatural shade of white. The most startling change was the huge black wing that extended from his left shoulder, with a wingspan as wide as Genesis was tall. If he'd had the right wing as well, he could have touched both sides of the chamber with the wingtips at the same time. The expression on his face was one of arrogance and disgust, and he was so focused on Sephiroth, Cloud wasn't even certain the man was aware of any of the rest of them. Then Cloud realized he was being an idiot, because if this was just an image like the others, Genesis wasn't aware of any of them. It was just a memory being played out. Only, it certainly seemed like Genesis was looking straight at Sephiroth.
"You just couldn't resist returning, could you?" the Phantom taunted. "I noticed you didn't bring Anjale with you this time. Found a fresh crop of dewy-eyed worshippers, did you? People who won't question or fight you this time, so you'll have an easy time of becoming High Summoner?"
"Not at all," Sephiroth replied wearily. "You were right about me, in the end. I was too arrogant, too assured of my own success. I learned that lesson, and I suppose I should thank you for teaching it to me. But it came at too high a price, old friend. I'd hoped you would have found peace by now. I never intended that you be left to suffer like this."
Genesis laughed and spread his arms, his wings stretching to its full width. The Lady Unaleska is my goddess, and I serve and protect her with gladness. Yes, I suffered, but my suffering has had a purpose. A better purpose than the one you denied me all those years ago.
You're an unsent, Aerith exclaimed.
When Cloud looked at her curiously, she explained,
Sometimes, when a person dies without being sent, if they have an extraordinary will and sense of self, they hold their own form instead of becoming a fiend. I've heard of it, but I've never seen it before.
I'm far more than a mere unsent, Genesis told her, which at least answered the question of whether he was aware of the rest of them. His eyes hadn't moved from Sephiroth, though. My soul, corrupted by vengeance, hath endured torment to find the end of the journey, in my own salvation and your eternal slumber.
Something about the way he said the words made it sound like he was quoting. Cloud didn't recognize the reference, but it certainly seemed appropriate for the moment.
Drawing his sword, Sephiroth set himself into a ready stance, the same one he'd started with when he danced to send the spirits of the dead in Besaid, Cloud was pretty sure.
This ends now, Genesis. I should have returned to put you out of your misery a long time ago, but I suppose I was still being too selfish.
You're right about one thing, Genesis snarled, and the expression of unholy rage on his face transformed his features into something inhuman. This ends now. When I kill you, my transformation will be complete, and I will become a god.
His wings swept forward, tossing dust and debris into their eyes. When Cloud managed to blink through to clear his vision, he saw Genesis hovering above them, even though it should have been impossible for him to fly with only one wing.
Pyrrhicid! Cloud shouted, calling on the strength of his newest Aeon. There was a roar above them, and it was a good thing the roof of the dome was already shattered, because Cloud was fairly certain the dragon would have destroyed it anyway as he spiraled out of the sky and down to Cloud. The ground shook as he landed, the wheel spinning over his back, and he roared again. Genesis appeared undaunted by the challenge, and his laughter had a manic edge to it as he swept his wing forward once more, shouting something Cloud couldn't hear over Pyrrhicid. Feathers shot from the wing like bullets from a gun, almost too fast to see. Certainly too fast to avoid them, at least for Cloud. He took a solid shot to his left shoulder and felt a stinging line on his right cheek where another must have brushed him. They were razor sharp, it seemed. Pyrrhicid shifted so his bulk was between Cloud and the Phantom. He heard shuffling beside him and saw that Aerith had taken refuge behind the dragon as well.
He's certainly handy as a shield, isn't he? She murmured, and winked at him as she cast a cura on him. You concentrate on summoning. Lord Sephiroth is handling the black magic. I'll make sure everyone stays healed.
With most of his attention on Pyrrhicid, Cloud could only nod in response. He could see Tifa and Zack through the Aeon's eyes, launching themselves at Genesis and trying to flank him, keeping him distracted enough with physical attacks that he wouldn't be able to block the magic ones, too. Genesis had produced a sword from somewhere, a long blade that had been enameled red. Cloud hoped it was just enamel. Magic raced down the length of it, tracing glowing red runes on the blade, and Cloud wasn't at all surprised when a fireball launched from the end of it. He saw Tifa flinch. She had nearly as much reason to be terrified of fire as he did, after all. But she charged at Genesis with no hesitation. With a roar that made the ground tremble, Pyrrhicid started to charge up his breath attack. For some reason, that made Genesis laugh and lift his sword to brandish it high over his head, pointing straight into the air. Gold energy flowed from the point of his blade, forming a symbol over their heads that was too large for Cloud to be able to tell what it said. "Get down!" he heard Sephiroth shout, and he'd never heard his guardian sound so distressed. Take cover, all of you! The Phantom's spell went off before Pyrrhicid's attack could, sending blasts of radiant magic throughout the Chamber of the Faith. The Aeon's bulk protected Cloud once again, but just because his own body took no damage didn't mean he couldn't feel the impact of the spell's power. Cloud screamed as the blasts tore into Petacid, causing the Aeon to roar once more with agony this time instead of anger. The damage was too great, and Petacid dissolved into pyreflies. Gasping for air, with tears streaming from his eyes and making it impossible to see the battleground, Cloud scrambled to summon Jimavan instead. She wasn't nearly as large as Petacid, but she could still provide some shelter. Before he could summon her, the skies opened up above them, and he was startled to see Petacid once more. Or rather, some other incarnation of Bahamut's Aeon. He assumed either Sephiroth or Aerith had summoned the dragon this time. Jimavan came right behind him, arrowing towards Cloud. But the dragon landed beneath Genesis, facing Cloud and his friends, his mighty breath attack already charging. With a sinking feeling, Cloud remembered Genesis saying he had also obtained all the Aeons. Could an unsent ghost summon? Apparently the answer was yes. Jimavan! Cloud shouted, and she charged her breath attack as well. The two Aeons unleashed their power almost simultaneously, and Cloud once more had to scream in pain as the force of the blast ripped Jimavan into metaphysical pieces. Strong hands grabbed Cloud by the shoulders and dragged him backwards, just before a chunk of what was left of the ceiling came crashing down right where his head had been.
"Take cover. Don't just rely on the Aeons to protect you," Sephiroth scolded him.
"What about your Aeons?" Cloud demanded. "Why aren't you summoning?" Sephiroth's spells were powerful, but with three Aeons fighting, they would surely be able to handle Genesis much better.
To his dismay, Sephiroth shook his head.
"Whatever else he may be, Genesis is at least partly my Aeon. I cannot control him, but neither can I summon another while he is here."
From somewhere above, he heard Jamavan's cry, presumably from Uriel, Aerith's version of Veilfor. At least, Cloud certainly hoped Genesis wasn't capable of summoning more than one Aeon at a time. Desperately, Cloud reached for Kreiji's power, hoping that all the fire Genesis was slinging around meant he would be weak to her ice powers. Of course, the moment she appeared, Genesis targeted her with a massive blast of flame, and he was reminded that the weakness worked both ways. Kreiji screamed, a sound like ice shattering, and vanished beneath the flame.
"Fight fire with fire," Sephiroth advised him. "Evned will take strength from his fire attacks, not damage, and the Aeon can then turn that power into fire spells on his Bahamut. I'll concentrate on ice spells to target Genesis."
A horrible headache was starting to pound in Cloud's temples, and he had the feeling he was probably pushing his limits too far, summoning a fourth time so quickly. But what else could he do? Lie there and die? Gritting his teeth, he pulled hard on Evned's power and felt the ground rumble beneath him in a precursor to the Aeon's appearance. As Evned blasted from the floor, Aerith's Aeon swooped in to take up a position behind him. Together, they concentrated their attacks on the dragon and finally managed to dissolve it into pyreflies. The pain of its death made Genesis stagger, and Zack and Tifa attempted to swarm him while he was distracted. For just a moment, Cloud thought they surely had him. Then Genesis laughed and flapped his wing again, and the feathers tore at Zack and Tifa, pushing them back out of reach once more. Genesis snapped his fingers, and his version of Shiva appeared before him. She was more than fast and agile enough to put herself between Genesis and Sephiroth's barrage of ice spells, absorbing their power and turning them into her own ice attacks on Evned in return. Uriel tried vainly to protect Evned from the ice, but Cloud knew it was only a matter of time before the fire demon went down. Already Cloud was struggling to reach for Ekia's power, though he honestly wasn't sure he had a fifth summoning in him. Genesis thrust his sword into the air once more, the golden power flowing from it to form that damned rune again. Cloud could have cried if all his attention wasn't absorbed in trying to keep Evned clear of Shiva's attacks. Once more he heard the roar of Bahamut, and the dragon came soaring down out of the sky. Had Sephiroth summoned after all? Cloud looked around frantically, but found his guardian bent over Tifa and Zack, his attention fully absorbed in healing them. Cloud had seen him cast and summon at the same time before, but surely he wouldn't be able to do it while casting such a powerful healing spell on two different people and with Genesis present. It couldn't be Aerith's, because her Uriel, though battered and bleeding, was still helping to shield Evned. Faith save them all. Could Genesis double summon the way Cloud had in Bavel and cast his own massive magic attack at the same time? Zalaros! A vaguely familiar voice shouted from somewhere behind Cloud. He glanced over his shoulder and yelped when he saw the dragon standing squarely in the doors that led out of the Blitzdome. It was blocking most of the light coming from beyond, but Cloud could just make out a human form dressed in pale robes, standing next to one massive foreleg. The Aeon roared again, and this time the sound was simultaneous with him unleashing his devastating breath attack. For a horrible moment, Cloud thought the power wave was aimed at him, and he ducked instinctively, even though he knew there was nothing he could possibly do to halt the attack. Evned roared as well, but the sound was one of triumph. When Cloud, still alive and unscathed, a little to his own shock, peeked through his Aeon's eyes, he saw that the blast had decimated Genesis's Aeon and disrupted the Phantom's own attack as well. Better yet, Genesis had been forced to land, half his wings seared off by the dragon. "Cloud, Lady Aerith," Sephiroth shouted. "Now, all of you, focus your attacks." Though he still wasn't entirely sure who their rescuer was, Cloud wasn't about to check the toes of a gift chocobo. He pushed himself upright and concentrated fiercely on willing all his remaining power into his Aeon. "Evned!" he called, his voice hoarse in a throat that felt drier than a desert. The fiery Aeon scooped up a huge boulder from among the debris of the dome, and the rock seemed to ignite in his hands until it was a massive fireball. He launched the missile at Genesis, at the same time as Uriel and the Stranger's Dragon let loose their attacks as well. Caught in the center of the triangle formed by the three attacks, Genesis didn't have a chance. He screamed, clawing at the air with his hands as if he could haul himself out of range by sheer force of will. One last pulse of power escaped him, strong enough to strike Cloud with the force of a brutal punch and sent him on his ass. He gave a pained grunt, not so much from his own pain, but the blow had been the last straw for Evned, who dissolved back into pyreflies. Experiencing his fourth Aeon death in such a short amount of time left Cloud reeling, and it was all he could do not to start retching as well. Where he found the energy to lift his head again, he honestly wasn't sure, but he managed it. The place where Genesis had stood was charred and blasted, with pyreflies swarming so thick they almost still looked solid. But Genesis himself was gone. Glancing around, Cloud took hasty stock of his friends. Aerith looked shaken and exhausted, her Aeon disappearing as well. But she was still on her feet. Tifa moved to get her shoulder under Aerith's, supporting her weary summoner. Straining his eyes, Cloud saw Zack kneeling next to Sephiroth, who appeared to have collapsed. "Zack, is he alive?" Cloud asked, and was grateful when he got a nod from his guardian in response. Since it seemed like nobody else had the energy left, it was apparently up to him to deal with their rescuer. Cloud managed to push himself to his feet once more and turned to face the doorway. "Thank you," he said, coughing a little when speaking scratched at his sore throat. "We owe you our lives." "Don't thank me just yet," the stranger said, and took a few steps forward to move out from the shadows beneath his Aeon. When he stepped forward, the light shone off his pale hair and revealed the way he was glaring at Cloud. "Rufus!" Cloud gasped, dismayed. "Faith, could this situation get any worse?" "Zalaros?" The dragon roared once more in answer to his summoner's command, the ground shaking with the force of it. Rufus gave Cloud a thin-lipped smile that had no mirth behind it, and swung his staff into a ready position. "Nobody said this fight was done."